have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Happy Halloween. I'm Andy Hum.
Do you celebrate Halloween?
No, don't you see how I'm dressed?
That's a longer conversation.
I'm Andy Hum. This is Gay USA.
And I'm Ann Northrup. And a viewer asked me for the results of the tests I had last week. I had an EKG and an echocardiogram because of my recent little fainting spell at physical therapy. They're checking me out all over. They've determined I didn't have a stroke. Now they're checking to see my heart. I got some results. I think they're fine. I have to talk to my doctor and find out. And I have other tests coming up so I can see what my future is immediately ahead of me. Lots of tests.
And it is Halloween. And we will start by telling you about some of the horrors of the Trump administration, which you see every 5 minutes anyway. Yeah. But we also have other news. A federal judge ruled that Trump cannot remove all references to gender identity from school sex education programs.
Stop the presses. But the U.S. Supreme Court is meeting November 7th to discuss whether to take the challenge to marriage equality brought by Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk.
The USDA is blaming the loss of food stamps on transgender people.
Why not? A Minnesota high court has ruled that U.S. powerlifting discriminated against a trans woman.
We're going to give you the latest on the big votes in Virginia, New Jersey, California, New York City. There are on Tuesday and now.
Yeah, well, yes, early voting. I voted. Have you voted?
Yes, I have.
Me too. I meant to wear my little sticker. I'll get it while we're in a video pause. New York's first out gay or lesbian legislator is retiring after 34 years in Albany. Yes, that sounds like enough.
Activists and a church in Texas got creative in defiance of the ban on rainbow crosswalks.
It's really promoting a lot of creativity around the country. A right-wing, anti-gay archbishop of the Anglican Church in North America, which is a breakaway sect, has been charged with sexual harassment.
They're always the ones. Palm Springs dedicates a pride monument.
We'll remember a pioneering gay and tenant activist and a TV mom from the 1950s who stood up for us.
King Charles dedicated a monument to service members who were persecuted in the United Kingdom.
But in Indonesia, the police have arrested 34 more gay men for sex.
But on the other hand, the U.S. Virgin Islands is the first U.S. territory to recognize trans and intersex people.
And Andy's been to Broadway again. He saw Liberation and will tell us what he thought.
I'll tell you what Carla Jay thought, too.
Okay.
All right. So, yes, happy Halloween. And these days, it's the nightmare on Pennsylvania Avenue from which we never wake up.
Wait a minute. Though that doesn't look like White House personnel.
Yeah, well,
anyway,
they are now. And that's, of course, the scene from the South Park of this week that is being telecast on Halloween. But I mean, you know what I mean? The actual pictures of what the East Wing used to look like. There it is, quite beautiful. And what they did to it without any permission. And of course, now they can do anything they want because they've gotten rid of all the people standing in the way of changing monuments and things. So maybe there will be a Trump Tower going up there.
Yeah, the whole White House may disappear in favor of a Trump Tower that's, you know, 60 stories high.
It's being turned into a grifter's palace where the Trump crime family can make billions, and they are. This is without exaggeration. I think one of the big issues in the 2028 campaign should be who's going to commit to tearing down the ballroom and restoring the grounds to what they were.
Well, I'm okay with that. But you make me make a couple of points. First of all, Steve Bannon's been saying Trump will be president in 28. Yes, he will. He will still be at the end of his term in 28. In fact, he's going to be president in 29 until January 20th. So let's parse his words a little more carefully and ask Steve Bannon who's going to be president after January 20th, 2029, because that's the real issue.
So let's just, I mean, briefly, the outrages of the week. In the United States, we're now the extrajudicial killers of people in the Gulf of Mexico, murders. They're still not providing any legal justification. If you thought the vicious attacks on immigrants were bad, they are going to get worse as the leadership of ICE is being purged to make way for more thuggish men.
Yeah, they're softening up at ICE, having had to deal with actual human beings. I've decided, by the way, that Trump does not want to be king. He wants to be the mafia don. It's a real mafia post he wants rather than royalty.
But the mafia used to feed people in the neighborhood. Trump is cutting off 43 million needy Americans from food stamps. And of course, they already did it to people overseas. What would be illegal punitive tariffs if we had a functioning Congress and Supreme Court continue to destroy our international relations and drive up prices at home? And the outrages are fast and furious.
He signed. We know that on September 25th, he signed the National Security Presidential Memorandum. And what that means is that the FBI and other law enforcement agencies have now been ordered to investigate nonprofits, meaning left-leaning, they perceive as left-leaning nonprofits, for domestic terrorism, defined as anything anti-Trump and opposition to traditional American views on family, religion, and morality. Nonprofits are going to be judged by these standards and be de-sanctioned or de-certified.
That's the Viktor Orban playbook and of course, the Putin playbook and the Chinese playbook, for that matter. Americans, we're still standing up to it. And we're going to tell you how. And you do still have the opportunity to vote this year. We're going to be allowed to vote, most of us.
In some places, there is not voting everywhere, but there
California,
is.
Well, California is very important in terms of redistricting.
50.
Virginia and New Jersey have their gubernatorial elections. They're considered close, although Virginia less so. And then, of course, the mayoral election in New York, which we hope will be a bellwether for progressive candidates. So we're looking for signs of life.
And we'll get to more details of that. Couple more on the list of Trump outrages. We've been telling you about the $10 million worth of contraceptives that the administration refuses to give, as they're supposed to poor countries. It turns out that they're sitting, we thought they destroyed them, but they're still sitting in Belgian warehouses because Belgian law forbids destroying them. So the U.S. is keeping them there in the warehouses until they expire in 2027 through 29. And USAID is basically out of business, but they're just letting them sit there until they expire.
Disgusting.
Also, this thing about Trump asking the Department of Justice to give him $230 million for everything he suffered. Well, does that mean that everyone who has been prosecuted and acquitted can put in claims with the Department of Justice for that kind of payoff?
Well, yes, anybody can put in claims. But when you own the Department of Justice and it's filled with lackeys, you might get your money back.
Yes. And if you don't, maybe you can find a court somewhere that will side with you. I know I'm a dreamer for even saying that, but nonetheless. And what is the Defense Department spending its time on? Criticizing the Netflix series Boots about the closeted gay military people. They're calling it woke garbage.
Well,
it's the sixth most popular series on Netflix.
Our goal on this program is to wake everybody up if they're not already. All right. So how about this good decision we got from a federal judge? She's filing an injunction for 16 states and the District of Columbia to block Trump's efforts to force the states to remove all references to trans and gender diverse identities from sex education plans. Her name is U.S. District Judge Ann Aiken, a Bill Clinton appointee in Oregon. She invoked the language of segregation and Brown v. Board of Education in her decision. So she says, you know, you're essentially arguing for separate but equal. President, of course, is threatening to withhold federal funds from public schools if they don't comply with his position.
I'm surprised he hasn't withheld funds from the salaries of judges who disagree with him. She called the administration attempt to defund these programs arbitrary, an arbitrary attack on trans people.
I do want to note, since I do get some right-wing emails, that there's something called the Presidential Prayer Team that posted her decision and called on their followers to pray for her, providing her work address and telephone number.
I'm suddenly getting some mail from right-wing groups. Someone has put me on some list.
I may have to report you. Now, speaking of religious nuts, Kim Davis, the Kentucky clerk who didn't want to do same-sex marriages, and there was a settlement against her by a gay couple that she denied their right to marry. The Supreme Court is going to meet in private on November 7th to decide whether to take her challenge. Now, of course, she keeps adding things to this case. A lot of them are late hits, like, I'd like to overturn Obergefell as well. And so a lot of legal observers, including our friend Art Leonard, say that makes it less likely that the court is going to take it. But they just need four of these justices to say they will take it. And we might hear soon after their meeting. We don't know exactly. It could even be that afternoon whether they have.
Good. Or it could take, or they could spend weeks more discussing it. But you're right. It only takes four of them to agree to take it, but it takes five for them to vote for Kim Davis. So you certainly Alito and Thomas will vote for taking it. And then Gorsuch and Kavanaugh are certainly possible additions to that. And that's all you'd need to get the case Correct. To the Supreme Court. And meanwhile, in Texas, the Supreme Court there has issued a decision telling judges that they are entitled to refuse to perform same-sex marriages if it goes against their, you know, deeply held religious convictions. It makes me want to become a judge so I can announce that I am refusing to perform heterosexual marriages while the world exists like this, because it's against my deeply held convictions.
There is no way forward with this kind of division in this country.
No.
The USDA, Department of Agriculture, is blaming the loss of food stamps on trans people. They said it's because Democrats are holding out for health care for illegal aliens and gender mutilation procedures. This is in their press release.
Yeah.
Scapegoating people as much as they can. Of course, no real concern for the 42 million Americans who are going to lose assistance to SNAP on November 1st.
Both sides have perfected the approach of blaming the other, and both sides sound plausible to their own supporters, and thus we are at an impasse.
Well, when you're not eating, I think you may want to listen, you know, whatever. Anyway,
You want to blame someone, and the Republicans are telling you to blame the Democrats, and the Democrats are telling you to blame the Republicans. And you can argue either side of that.
Well, the Department of Veterans Affairs is cracking down on rainbows. At the VA's Hampton Medical Center in Virginia, employees say they were warned not to display any rainbow things. Now, this went back and forth. No, we did. Yes, we did. No, we didn't. But the fact that it's even an issue, wearing a rainbow lanyard or something, I mean, I could have worn a rainbow tie today. I mean, so what? But it's, you know.
I'd have had to kick you off.
God. All right. Now, we've told you about Riley Gaines. She's that
swimmer.
Turf activist. Well, I would say swimmer. So, you know, she posted a picture of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Zoran Mamdani and Bernie Sanders and said, we're being destroyed from within. So Ocasio-Cortez posted, maybe if you channeled all this anger into swimming faster, you wouldn't have come in fifth.
Well, I think that's a little snarky. It is a little snarky. It's intentionally snarky. Yes. But the real point is that four non-trans swimmers beat her and Leah Thomas. Well, they tied for fifth.
It has led to a big career, a lucrative career for Riley Gaines as a right-wing activist.
Sure.
And basically Ocasio-Cortez said, I would challenge you to get a real job. All right. The Minnesota Supreme Court has ruled that USA Powerlifting discriminated against a transgender woman by banning her from women's competitions.
Yeah. They said the blanket ban is inappropriate, that if you're going to ban, that the state law of Minnesota requires appropriate participation. So if you want to challenge someone's participation, you have to prove a reason for that. And in terms of trans people, some will meet the standards and some won't. And therefore, that's how you decide who participates and who doesn't. And, you know, we've discussed many, many times, what are these standards? People who of non-trans experience have very different qualifications and strengths and skills, and yet we don't sort them out beyond gender for participation. You know, there are basketball players who are a foot taller than others, and no one tries to even that out. Michael Phelps and his long arms, whatever. So where are we drawing the line for trans participants?
Arlington, Texas, the city council is going to vote on November 18th to remove whether or not it will remove gender identity expression and sexual orientation as protected characteristics. Trump officials said they would revoke $65 million in federal grant money from the city if it did not remove language related to diversity, equity, inclusion from the municipal code. And Arlington and Fort Worth did vote to end DEI programs and rewrite ordinances. So this would be a removal of civil rights protections there.
And in Nassau County, New York, even though they have outlawed a local law there that banned trans, Massapequa is proceeding with its suit against the federal government, against New York State, for the ability to ban trans women, I think in particular, from participation in sports in their public facilities.
The Virginia lieutenant governor's race, you know, we've been telling you about this because the Republican's an out gay guy and there have been calls to get him out of the race because of his Tumblr account that shared white supremacist and neo-Nazi adult content. But I just read this week that his Democratic opponent, Ghazala Hashmi, is only leading him by 1 point in the polls.
Wait a minute. Which race is this?
The lieutenant governor's race in Virginia.
Is it the attorney general Democratic candidate who had bad things on his social media?
The attorney general candidate was texting with a friend and said, if I only had two bullets, I'd put him Putin or somebody, but in the head of the state legislature was a Republican.
So hard to keep all these candidates straight with their social media accounts. But when we have the results of these elections very soon, we'll sort this out.
And Governor Janet Mills of Maine has launched her campaign for U.S. Senate. And one of the first arguments she made was to tout her record on trans rights. Now, of course, she's running against
Graham Platner.
Yes, who is also discovered to have some little Nazi symbols on his body, and he's apologizing. And then there's a gay candidate in that race as well.
Well, Plattner, who was seen as the leading candidate until Janet Mills spoke up, and I wonder whether she entered the race because she knew this was coming with, you think?
Maybe she helped get it out.
Big debates over whether Plattner should be dismissed because of his Nazi tattoo, which he supposedly got covered up, although there's some debate about that. But he apologized for his anti-LGBTQ Reddit posts and said his eyes had been opened over the years by gay and trans friends. So again, the question is, do people get, does apologizing make up for bad acts in the past? Where do you draw the line? How much do you believe people? How do you find out whether they're believable? It's very confusing.
I would like to get back to the point that what we grew up with, which is that Nazism and fascism are bad things.
I think we agree on that. The question is, if you apologize for it, can you get past it?
I don't think the country agrees with it anymore. You saw the chat among the young Republicans. Now, speaking of Republicans, we got a Democrat running in Illinois' 13th congressional district for the House next year. He's a fighter ally, a 32-year-old Army captain and biochemist, Dylan Blaha. Is that the name?
Yeah.
He's mounting a progressive change. And he says, you know, the Dems are rolling over on LGBTQ rights, and I'm going to fight. I'm not going to apologize. I'm going to stand up for trans people and everything else. And that's how we're going to win this race.
He says he wants candidates to be forthright for gay and trans people. And Democrats must reclaim moral clarity. The Democratic Party has lost its soul. It's time to fight back. Well, I couldn't agree more with that.
You will never even hear the words past the lips of Chuck Schumer anymore. Anyway, in New York, Deborah Glick has announced that she's not going to run for re-election to the Assembly. She has been there. She was elected in 1990, representing Greenwich Village, Soho, and Tribeca. And, you know, she's basically saying, you know, I'm getting on and I don't have quite the energy that I did. We don't either.
Amen, sister.
Yes, amen to that. So long service. She was a pioneer and a trailblazer.
Well, she was a big factor in passing marriage equality, abortion rights, ERA passage in New York, environmental laws. And the astonishing thing is that she was the first out LGBTQ person elected to the state legislature. And it took another, 8 years before anyone else was elected. Tom Duane, I think.
To the state Senate. Yes. Disgraced mayor Eric Adams here in New York endorsed disgraced ex-governor Andrew Cuomo for mayor over the Democratic nominee Zohran Mamdani and Republican Curtis Sliwa. Adams had repeatedly called, as recently as a couple of weeks ago, Cuomo a snake and a liar during his own campaign for mayor. Then Cuomo this week ran an AI-generated, virulently racist ad against Mamdani, who responded, "This is Andrew Cuomo's final moment in public life, and he's choosing to spend them making racist attacks on the person who would be the first Muslim to lead this city." And of course, Cuomo also made these horrible remarks on the Sid Rosenberg show. Now, that's bad enough. Forget what he said. Sid Rosenberg was at the, you know, Bunt rally at Madison Square Garden for Donald Trump. So Cuomo is just trying to pull out the right wing anti-gay religious vote, basically, in order to win this race.
Yep, no question. So let's talk about Mamdani. He got a lot of press this week for appearing at Forest Hills Tennis Stadium with AOC and Bernie Sanders, and that was the big headline for a couple of days.
10,000 people.
It was a great rally, evidently. I wasn't there, but it looked great. But there's something else he did before that. He went to the 10th anniversary reunion of the lesbian nightclub Meow Mix. There's the crowd at Meow Mix for the anniversary. And there's Zoran Mamdani holding a T-shirt he's been given and talking to the crowd. Now, let me say, he referenced ACT UP. He said the crowd was a vision of what New York should be, said that queer and trans people should be cherished and celebrated, not just protected. He was just tremendously great in what he said. Now, here are the stars he appeared with there. From the far left, Cynthia Nixon, who introduced him, and Zoran with his T-shirt, Justin Vivian Bond, who also spoke for Zoran, and one of the club's managers, Brooke Webster. So it was a hell of a night at Meow Mix on Houston Street for Zoran Mamdani, let alone his Forest Hills appearance.
And thanks to photographer Stacy Joy for and egrieve.com for those photos.
Evgrieve.com.
Okay.
A neighborhood blog.
Should we go to Texas?
Yes, let's do. I just have to say, it just warms my heart. I have certainly questions about Mamdani. I voted for him with my fingers crossed. I hope he's as great as I'd like him to be, but it really warms my heart when he shows up at Meow Mix.
The thing is, you know, for any mayor to succeed, people have to get behind him, and after, especially after he's elected. I mean, Andrew Cuomo is moving to Florida if he loses. I mean, instead of saying, you did a great race and I want to do everything I can to support you, we're not hearing that. And that's what we have to do as people.
Absolutely. We can't leave him hanging out to dry. And side note, in gay club news in New York, Club Cumming, Alan Cumming's club, is going to be featured as a 6-part documentary now being taped. That'll be coming around probably next year.
More on Alan Cumming later. So in Texas, you know, pride colors are reemerging in the Montrose neighborhood of no. This is with a video here, if you would, Rich.
A colorful scene again this morning in Montrose, just one day after the city removed the rainbow crosswalks that had been at the center of debate for months. Protesters were back out at the intersection, making their voices heard and their artwork seen. KTOU11's Devon Roming is near that intersection of Westheimer and Taft to take us through the latest.
Well, protesters were back out here early this morning at around 2-3 o'clock this morning, spray painting the wheelchair access here to the intersection in those rainbow colors that once set at this intersection before yesterday's removal. Many of them we spoke with say they were disturbed that the symbol has been removed and they aren't backing down. This is all happening after crews came through yesterday morning to scrape away the rainbow crosswalks, a move the city says had to be done in accordance with a directive from the governor and the Department of Transportation to avoid losing federal funding. But it sparked frustration and sadness among many in the LGBTQ+ community and people living in the Montrose neighborhood who saw it as a symbol of pride and visibility. Now, residents are back out here with spray paint and chalk, bringing the colors back to life.
Everyone's just really happy that someone's doing something, and there was already like chalk out here. I just wanted to make it more permanent.
Houston police were back at the intersection all morning long, taking pictures and taking notes of some of the graffiti along the sidewalks. They say this has now moved from just art into vandalism territory. And yesterday evening, Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo weighed in, pointing blame at Metro for all this in a statement, saying in part, Metro could have requested an exemption from the state's policy or taken legal action. The community deserves to know who made the final decision to remove the crosswalk, why the decision was not put up for a board vote, and what other options we could have pursued instead of instant removal. Now, we've reached out to Metro and the Texas Department of Transportation for answers, but we are still waiting to hear back. In Montrose, Devon Roming, KHOU 11 News.
Want to see some vandalism? Just watch the tapes of the teardown of the East Wing in the White House.
I have found my sticker, Manhattan Votes Early. I was an early voter in Manhattan the other day.
Okay. Thank you.
But I just, you know, that video, people getting out and doing that with a rainbow, I could spend hours talking to you about how fun and fulfilling it is to get a few friends and do an action like that. It's one of the most fulfilling things you can do in life is to make an action that is positive, do it with other people. Whether it's marching in the No Kings March or getting out and painting rainbow crosswalks or whatever, do it. It will make you so happy.
Although perhaps at risk of imprisonment these days, you know, with what they're
not if you're doing it on private property.
I'm referring to the story you did earlier about how they're going after our groups, and they mean it.
Yes, that's true.
That's what I'm talking about.
But true.
Are they going to go after the Oakland Park Methodist Church in Dallas? They responded by, this is so beautiful, painting the steps and the doors of the church in rainbow colors. They said, we said, silence is not love. We want every person who passes by to know you are safe, you are seen, you are beloved by their God. And they call it an act of sacred resistance in the face of what's happening in our state and in our country. We need more of that. How about St. Patrick's Cathedral? What are you going to do? Actually, I should say, of course, I'm not a fan of St. Patrick's, but they just did an inside mural, which is all about immigration. I mean, huge mural. It took years to put it up there, and it's all about affirming immigrants.
Well, when we did the St. Patrick's action as ACT UP, they accused us of graffitiing the walls outside the church, which we did not do, but they spent a long time trying to accuse us of that and track us down and get us prosecuted.
Right. And in Florida, a 31-year-old man was arrested for ripping down a Starbucks pride flag and throwing it in the trash. And he was arrested for $210 worth of damage. He said, I decided to take matters into my own hands when he was inflamed by the flag. So he was released on $500 bond. He's a father of a young daughter, a registered Republican, and a sales manager at a funeral home chain.
Well, it just continues. Florida is still fighting over the governor's arbitrary orders to get rid of all rainbows on public property. That's going back and forth. It's all over the country, really.
Right. A Republican official sued a Texas doctor for treating trans kids. This was the Attorney General, Ken Paxton. So calling her a disturbed left-wing activist for providing the care. So she has left the state for Oregon.
I'm going to insert a good news story here for which I should have a picture, but I don't. But next year in May, there will be a new special edition of the most banned book in America, Gender Queer. Maya Kabay, the author, is issuing Gender Queer, the annotated edition. It's going to be a deluxe edition with new content and comments by people about the book. So maybe you can pre-order that. May 2026, it's coming out. Gender Queer, the annotated edition.
We're not allowed to sell books on this show, but we can promote them. But of course, we will remind you that if you'd like to support Gay USA at the end of the year, go to gayusatv.org and help us out if you can. in South Carolina, now the Archbishop of the Anglican Church of America, a right-wing breakaway, Steve Wood, is facing allegations of sexual harassment, bullying, and plagiarism, according to an expose in the Washington Post. So
that's quite a list. Bullying and plagiarism.
Well, it sounds like it was really grooming this girl. But anyway, in Nevada, back on August 18th, a Metro police officer stopped a 62 22-year-old William H. Scott and attempted to give him a ticket for holding his phone while driving. And it turns out this guy was the chief of investigations under Attorney General Aaron Ford in the state, and he was driving a state vehicle. And so he went after the cop and he said, I have enough money to pay for my fine. And then he used the F word, faggot, he said. To which the officer replied, oh, very classy. I'm so glad you're retired and not with the department anymore. He's fired from his government job.
Who was fired? The cop?
Oh, no. The guy who was slurs.
Okay.
We haven't gotten to that point yet. Not in Nevada.
Well, good. But in California, the cops raided the Abbey, famous bar, longstanding. They say they were responding to reports of pickpockets and drugged drinks, but a great panic ensued when they kicked everyone out of the bar and locked the doors and started investigating. First, people thought it was ICE, but it was not ICE. It was the LA cops.
The right-wing Barry Weiss, who's now the editor-in-chief over there at CBS News, is trying to bring over Bret Baier from Fox to run the CBS Evening News for $40 million. He's demanding $40 million to make the move.
I don't think John Dickerson was being paid $40 million.
John Dickerson, he gave a resignation statement. He was forced out. At least according to Rob Shooter. Anyway, the owner of CBS is now this David Ellison guy who's trying to gobble up Time Warner Discovery, which includes CNN, a deal that would be looked on favorably by the Trump people. By the way, we will never sell out here at Gay USA, but we don't quite have the reach of these networks.
No matter how many millions they offer us.
Oh, no.
We have no deals in the works to acquire other conglomerates. We're not subject to pressure.
You couldn't pay us enough to lie.
It's true. And we couldn't sleep at night.
In Palm Springs, they dedicated the Palm Springs Pride Monument, a permanent sculpture in Francis Stevens Park, celebrating the LGBTQ community and diversity on the 40th anniversary of Pride there. This monument, if you look at it from above, it's in the shape of a lambda. It's quite beautiful, and it's going to be there. They raised $500,000 for this thing.
Those colors are growing on me.
Okay. I'm wearing an orange tie for Halloween this week, but I'll put the rainbow tie on again sometime. An update on the Penn Station men's room sting. One of the people they arrested was an asylum seeker from Ecuador. Now, it's a false charge. They were always making false charges against these men in the restroom, and he got off that. But now he's in a detention facility for ICE. It's just heartbreaking.
It is, and it's so weird because life goes on, and for some people and for others, they're locked up in detention centers and being thrown out of the country.
Well, now, we...
Surrealism in everyday life, as we say.
Well, we read what happened in Europe under fascism, and now it's happening here, and we're not doing enough. We're doing what we can, but we're not doing enough.
Right.
All right.
Talk about a couple of people we lost.
I think we should start with Leah Smith. I mean, this was a 21-year-old trans student found dead in Vermont, and they had not been able to find her body. Well, they did, and she apparently took her own life. She had been a trans activist on campus. She was on a panel, Trans Healthcare is Not a Debate. And
she was a real student leader. She was a champion diver. She was in the chess club. And sometimes it's the high performers who are I don't want to overgeneralize.
Right. At Middlebury, she was on this panel, and she said, know that there are people in your community that are here for you and care about you. Very, very sad. Yes.
And then Michael McKee, who you knew very well.
Mike McKee was the leading tenant activist of the last, he was 85 when he died, of the last 60 years. If you live in a rent-regulated apartment in New York, you can credit Mike McKee for leading the fight to hold on to those rights and strengthen them. But he was also a co-founder of the Chelsea Gay Association. And he won an early case securing the right of gay partners in rent-regulated apartments to stay in their apartments after the leaseholder died. And this was at the height of the AIDS crisis in 87, when his then-partner, Louis Fugioni, died of AIDS-related complications. So he's survived by his husband, Eric Stensholl. There's going to be an interment service this Sunday at St. Peter's City Corp. at 10:30 a.m. I'll be there, and a memorial service on December 3rd at 4 o'clock at the same church.
All right. And June Lockhart.
My TV mother.
I am old enough to remember June Lockhart on Lassie with, her little son, Timmy. She was actually not the first one to play that role. Cloris Leachman preceded her in that role as Timmy's mom and someone else. But June Lockhart really was the ultimate Lassie's mother. And
the mother on Lost in Space.
And the mother on Lost in Space. Shall we show? But she was a fierce liberal advocate. Let's show the clip from the Virginia Graham show.
Let's set it up, because the first person to speak is still alive, and that's Troy Perry, the founder of the Metropolitan Community Church.
Like, it's wrong then not to have children. Anyone not to have children, is this true?
What? No. Yes, I think it's too bad for them. I don't think it's. But that is not a sin against the law of nature.
Well, it's not against the sin of law of nature to be a homosexual. Animals have homosexual acts with each other. Go to the San Diego Zoo. Watch the monkeys.
But you know what God gave us that he didn't give animals? He gave us the intellect and the self-discipline and the sense of values. So
that's correct.
Be
to be
animals.
Happy human beings. And if there are those individuals who happen to be heterosexual, I agree with the doctor. There are those individuals who are very happy in a homosexual relationship. Very unhappy in a heterosexual relationship.
Basically, what I was saying was that we don't thoroughly understand
That's
it
correct.
Yet, and that we should not categorize it or condone it or deny it. We have to understand it.
Yeah, but June, you wanted to say something.
I was just going to say, Virginia, I'm just a guest here, but if
you'll forgive me,
I don't think you should moralize about it if you've never been a homosexual. Because you have to...
Are you kidding? You don't think I should moralize about taking dope or moralize about
killing if I've never killed anybody? Dope and killing. We're talking about homosexuality.
I think we're killing in civilization.
It has nothing to do with the other two things. Don't get off your subject.
We must say this, though. You have to remember homosexuality throughout history has never risen above from 4 to 10%, probably. We have information. We have statistics that will bear this out.
Won't a church like yours make it rise more?
No. We're only helping those who are already homosexual. We're not trying to convert people to homosexuality. That's not our reason at all. Our reason is...
Those were the days when we were being compared to drug use and things like that.
Well, that hasn't fully disappeared, but that was 1970. But here's the thing about June Lockhart. She's known as this, lovely mother on these shows. And look at her there with Lassie. Who could resist? But June Lockhart had a whole real life that just wasn't talked about. She had a press pass to the White House press office given to her by Dwight Eisenhower. And she used to hang out there regularly. She was very, very politically savvy and involved and a very progressive person. And standing up for LGBTQ people in 1970 on the Virginia Graham show was totally in character for her. And
she also stood up for writers who were blacklisted in the 50s. And when someone would compliment her on Lassie and say, oh, that's the real America and all that kind of stuff, she said, a lot of the writers are in jail.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you like it, it was written by commies. She also won a Tony Award for her Broadway debut at 22 in For Love or Money, playing a pretty vagrant.
She was also a big rock and roll fan, and she would go to rock and roll concerts all the time. One of her greatest regrets was that she never met David Bowie, who was one of her great idols. She died at 100. She was 100 years old.
We're getting there, Anne.
It's true. It's not that far away, but I'm determined to get there. My grandmother got to 103.
Wow.
I'm not ready to give up yet. Okay. And my grandmother had a hip replacement at 99.
Wow. All right, international. Are we on to international news?
Sure, why not?
Well, how about that King Charles III? He unveiled a memorial to lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender military personnel in Staffordshire. It's his first official engagement in support of the LGBT community as king. You know, when the Admiral Duncan Bar, a gay bar in Soho in London, was hit with a deadly nail bomb, as Prince of Wales, he visited that site to offer the condolences of the nation. That sculpture there is named An Opened Letter, which is the kind of letters that people got to tell them, you know, that got them in trouble and got them accessed or got them fired from the military.
It's true. They were incriminating letters. And so this is a representation of those letters crumpled up.
Yep. And by the way, they only got rid of the ban on gays in the military there in 2000. I think.
Well, what about us?
We were worse.
Yes.
In Indonesia, 34 men were arrested.
I thought we're doing Hungary next.
Oh, you're right. Of course, I forgot. The European Pride Organizers Association is condemning the criminal proceedings launched against this guy, Geza Butsats Habel, the lead organizer of, PECS Pride. He was summoned for police questioning yesterday and they're targeting him. He led a peaceful march. He admitted to it, but he said, I didn't commit any crime. But he could be punished with up to a year in prison for leading a gay march.
Soon that will be us. Indonesia, next. Cops are constantly arresting people in certain provinces in Indonesia where...
Oh, wait a minute. This was in Surabaya, which is the capital of East Java. You know, the nation's second largest city.
Okay, it's spreading. 34 men arrested at a party labeled as a gay party, put on public display there, being photographed, and facing a lot of jail time, I think.
Paraded through the streets. It's just awful.
Yep.
All right. Where are we?
In Turkey, they're proposing harsher penalties for anything LGBTQ, like marriage, jail time, not just whatever they've been doing. And in Russia, the cops raided a so-called kissing party, harassing the attendees for 4 hours before letting them go.
The South Korean census will allow same-sex couples to identify themselves as spouses for the first time. They have a big right-wing church movement over there, but they managed to get this in there.
In Russia, the ice hockey coach of the Russian Olympic team is angry because he's been told the team cannot participate as Russians in next year's Winter Olympics. They can participate as neutrals, which is how Russia participated in the Summer Olympics. He says petty bisexuals are responsible for barring the Russian team, which are being barred because of their invasion of Ukraine.
Well, at least he didn't blame trans people. The new Irish president, Catherine Connolly, an independent backed by all the left parties, won the election 63% of the vote. Has very strong LGBTQ credentials. She was the only member of the parliament there to actively campaign to extend gender recognition to non-binary people. She's said to be the most pro-trans member of parliament. She was raised Catholic, but describes herself as irreligious in Ireland.
Well, they've come a long way, but they, you know, they've done a lot of really very daring progressive stuff over the last few years. It would be nice if that became a model for us.
They had the 23rd Taiwan Pride, and it was led by Chi Chiaway, second from left there. He led the parade. He started fighting for marriage equality through the courts in 1986, coming out publicly as gay and becoming an AIDS activist as well. He was named one of the Time Magazine's 100 most influential people in 2020. They had 150,000 people in the rain.
Meanwhile, Trump is running around Japan with the new first female prime minister, who is right-wing and very against same-sex marriage.
The U.S. Virgin Islands has made history as the first U.S. territory to officially recognize transgender and intersex people.
And in the U.K., there are Anglican priests who say they're going to defy the bishop's ban on blessing same-sex marriages. The bishops have said, well, you know, if the couple's within the congregation and you're blessing everybody that day, you can include them. But these priests are saying, nonsense, we're going to go ahead and bless same-sex couples as such.
Good. That's how they got women's ordination. Bjorn Anderson, the Swedish actor best known for his breakout role in Death in Venice, where he was 15, has died at the age of 70, cast by Luchino Visconti in Death in Venice, to play opposite Dirk Bogarde, who was obsessed with him in the movie. He was called the most beautiful boy in the world by Visconti, and they made a documentary about that later. But he said it was actually a very disorienting experience. I felt like an exotic animal in a cage. It screwed up my life. But he went on eventually to have a modest and film career.
He didn't like being objectified, and he didn't like being taken to a gay nightclub by Visconti when he was 16. And I don't know today if you could cast a 15-year-old in that role in Death in Venice, which is what he was when he did it.
Well, it's not like they got it on in the movie, but...
No, but it's... whatever.
It's the male Lolita. In Belgium, you already did that story.
Well, in AIDS news, there's a fight going on about covering PrEP high costs, which are like $28,000, but only $40 in other countries. So AIDS activists are going after CVS to cover those costs. And CVS is saying, hey, don't blame us. Go after Gilead. They're the ones who are putting this price on it. We will be happy to cover it when the prices are reasonable, but not now.
And now that Trump, RFK, and their quack claims about Tylenol and the risk of autism in pregnancy, not backed up by any science, but Ken Paxton is now suing Tylenol for giving autism to kids. I mean, it's grotesque.
And they're fighting over whether to give Tylenol to dogs because it might give them autism. I don't make this stuff up. All right. Entertainment news.
Well, I think I called Kate Baldwin last week a two-time Tony winner. Our more knowledgeable longtime viewer, Andrew, corrected me. She was a two-time Tony nominee for Finian's Rainbow and Hello, Dolly.
Chapel Roan is creating a Midwest Princess Project to support trans youth and LGBTQ communities. Thank you, Chapel Roan.
Have you seen Nia DaCosta's Hedda with Tessa Thompson?
Anne? I have not, but I can't wait. It is, it's going to be airing, I think, starting today on Prime Video. This is a new overtly lesbian version of the Ibsen play Hedda Gabler. Tessa Thompson there in the foreground plays Hedda, and it's getting rave reviews. I think I'm looking
at that. It opens with a quote from the poet Antiphones: "I trust only one thing in a woman, that she will not come to life again after she is dead."
Don't count on it. Tell us about Liberation.
The play Liberation is really, it's about, this is by Bess Wahl. That's at the James Earl Jones Theater there on Broadway. And, you know, it's about a consciousness-raising group in 1970. And I didn't think the first act was so authentic. But again, I was never at a consciousness-raising group in 1970 with a bunch of women. But Carla J was, our friend, and she said the acting was excellent, but it does not correspond with her experience in consciousness-raising groups, and she doesn't think that the playwright did her research. All that said, it's getting rave reviews, and I did like the second act better.
Well, it's very hard to recreate those things, especially if you were there. I went to a thing at the community center here, the LGBTQ community center, a few weeks ago that was a recreation of an ACT UP meeting with actual names of people and some authentic people. I was there to play myself, but I found it so jarring that I did my usual thing of sitting in the back of the room and complaining with a couple of friends. But I can imagine how Carla would find it inauthentic.
And she said, Carla said, we sure could use consciousness raising today to talk about what's going on, raise morale, and maybe analyze how we got here. All right.
And how does all this apply to David Geffen?
Yeah. Where is the David Geffen story?
He's paid off his boyfriend, David Armstrong, there on the right. Millions of dollars as a settlement to avoid a lawsuit as they broke up their relationship.
Yes, a lot. And where are we? So Ian McKellen, Graham Norton, and Evelyn Glennie are among the big names for the Pitlochry Festival. You know about this in Scotland? You're the Scottish expert. Curated by Alan Cumming. It's going to be a weekend of queer joy in January there. So you can check that out if you're headed for in the middle of winter to northern Scotland.
Please, Scotland has a very mild climate. And northern Scotland is on the same longitude or latitude as Copenhagen.
Okay. And I think that's what I have. And we have a minute left.
Yeah, so I highly recommend this South Park. The last episode.
This is on Friday night, Halloween.
The last episode, Twisted Christian, is repeating tonight and is available on demand. Highly recommend that. And then the upcoming one is all about the East Wing being demolished. And you saw Satan in the picture. He's a regular character. So that's Friday night at 11 p.m. on Comedy Central, not Fox, as I said last week, because I'm in the Wayback Machine. Comedy Central, South Park, The Woman in the Hat, 11 p.m. on Friday.
Okay.
And then available on demand.
Well, happy Halloween, everybody. I don't have any special plans, but...
I'm going to play golf on Saturday at a golf course that is decorated for Halloween with ghosts and goblins and spider webs and everything else.
And I'm going to have lunch with Fred Karger.
Okay. Happy Halloween to everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.